Well, good morning to those of you on Facebook. Thank you for joining us today. I know that some of you are not part of our congregation, and you still join us, and I count that a great privilege that you do that. Well, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into God's Word. Father, thank you for this day and for the opportunity once again to get into your Word, to search your word for wisdom. For Lord, we recognize and acknowledge to you we desperately need wisdom. And so, Father, today we ask that you would be pleased to grant us that wisdom as we look at your word, as we yield to your Holy Spirit. Thank you. You've given us your word. We are greatly privileged to have it in our own language. There are many in this world that do not yet have the word of God translated in their heart language. And we're so grateful for those who you've sent out into this world who are working diligently to learn languages that have never been written down, that they might write them down, that they might be able to put your word into a language that those people can read and understand the gospel and the good news of what you've done for them. And so, Lord, may we never take it for granted, but may we utilize the privilege that is ours. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was his first day on the job. As a young man, he was working in the supermarket in the vegetable department. And a woman came up to him and she wanted to buy a half a head of lettuce. And he tried to talk her into buying the whole thing. I mean, it's not that expensive. You know, you don't have to use it all. And she said, I only need half a head of lettuce. I only want to buy a half a head of lettuce. That's what I want. And so he finally said, ma'am, I'm going to need to talk to my manager. This is my first day on the job. I don't know what to tell you. So he went back to the back to talk to his manager and didn't realize that she followed him back there. And he looks at his manager and he says, I'm sorry to bother you, but he said, there's this old bag out here. Wants to buy half a head of lettuce. And he sees the horror on his manager's face as his manager's looking past him and he realizes. And he says, and this young, nice lady back here wants to buy the other half. Can we sell half to each of them? Well, later that day, the manager commended him for his quick thinking. And he said, young man, where are you from? And he said, I'm from Toronto, Canada, the land of beautiful hockey players and ugly women. And the manager said, well, excuse me, but my wife is from Toronto, Canada. He said, oh, which team did she play for? Whether you're as quick-witted as this young man or not, we all say things we wish we hadn't said. We wish we could grab and take back, but we can't. They've already gone out. Let me give you a personal example. Many, many, many years ago, when Valerie and I were young in our marriage, and we had a couple of young teenage girls at our house. Their father was at Hopkins, very seriously ill, and their mother was down there with him, and so we had these young ladies in our home, keeping them for the day, and so it was dinner time. My wife made a meal that I particularly like, but she had made it a little differently that day. Either she had cooked it too long or different ingredients, something, but it didn't taste quite as good. And I felt that it was my responsibility as a loving husband to inform her that this way she made it was not the same as she had made it before, did not taste as good, because I figured as a wife she would want to know, right, that this way of preparing it was not quite as good as the other way. And so I actually used the words unacceptable. Yes, exactly. I said, this is unacceptable. And I didn't just say it once, because she didn't seem to get it the first time. So I said again, no, this is unacceptable. Well, Needless to say, it wasn't a good night. It wasn't a good week. It probably wasn't even a good month. But many, many years later, right, 20-some years later, we can laugh about that. Or at least you can. I probably should never laugh about that one, right? Now, I say that for two reasons. One, so you know what an incredible wife I have. What an awesome saint she is that she put up with me all these years. Secondly, so that you know you're not the only one, right, that ever says things that you should never say, things you wish you could take back, but you cannot. And not only do we at times say things with our mouth, but we sometimes write things and put them out there for all the world to read. And we wish that we had not done so. Now, we might be able to delete some things, some posts, but once they've been read, we cannot ever take them back. We can be forgiven. We can ask for forgiveness, but we cannot ever take them back. So what do we need to help us? Well, we need biblical instruction in wise behavior, right? And particularly as it relates to the tongue. And the book of Proverbs is the place we go for biblical instruction in wise behavior. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 1, that's one of the purposes of the book of Proverbs, to give instruction in wise behavior. And so we go to the book of Proverbs. Well, the first 9 chapters, which is what we've been looking at over these many, many weeks, is the discourse section of the book of Proverbs. We have Solomon speaking to his son or his sons and giving advice to them. He is saying, this is what it looks like to walk in wisdom, and this is what it looks like to walk a way of folly, and don't go that way, but go this way. And so he's continuing to give this instruction throughout the first 9 chapters. Well, from chapter 10 on, it's a very different way of writing. These are the proverb statements. These are short, pithy statements of wisdom, oftentimes contrasting wisdom and folly, righteousness and wickedness. And so it lays out that contrast. Here's what it looks like to be wise. Here's what it looks like to be a fool. And we see those contrasts. Well, one of the best ways to study those sections from chapter 10 to chapter 31 is to follow themes throughout, to look and see what statements are found in this section that speak to a particular issue. And so for the next few weeks, as we go through the month of August, we're going to do that, take different themes and follow them through the book of Proverbs. Today, we're looking at the power of the tongue, the power of our speech, the things that we say or the things we communicate. And our main verse is Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. If you would, if you haven't already, you open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. We see these words: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Both death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so we have great damage that we can do with our mouth, with our words, with our communication, and great good that we can do with our words, our communication as well. And this is not just a message from the book of Proverbs. This is a message throughout the Scriptures. And just to show us in the New Testament that this is a theme that goes throughout the whole Bible, in James chapter 3, James speaks a pretty lengthy section of this chapter on this issue of the tongue. Listen to his words in James chapter 3. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such you shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. And as you can see, I am nowhere close to a perfect man. Right? Now, in verse 3, now if we put the bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their entire body as well. And behold, the ship also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of a pilot desires. So also, he says, the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life. And it is set on fire by hell itself. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way, he says. It's not supposed to be like this. We in ourselves, in our own flesh, cannot tame the tongue. We need help. And God gives us help through His Word, the book of Proverbs, this biblical instruction in wise behavior as it relates to the tongue. We need to learn the biblical instruction, and then we need to bring it under the authority of the Holy Spirit in our life as He works it out in us and through us. And so this morning we're going to take a look at what the book of Proverbs has to say about the power of the tongue. You'll notice on your outline that under the subpoints you have several verses. These are all from the book of Proverbs. You can look them up as we go if you would like. That's fine, but I wanted to give them to you. I'm going to read them all, but I'm going to give you the references so you can go back and read them again on your own and kind of follow that. But I'm going to show you how these themes work through the book of Proverbs and what the book of Proverbs has to say to us about these things. The first thing I want to point out, and again, these two main points come from verse 21 of chapter 18, and that is our words can do great damage. Our words can do great damage. My wife was greatly hurt by the words that I spoke. We can do great damage, and so we need the advice from the book of Proverbs to minimize the damage. And there are three sub-points under this I want to point out. The first is, put away deceptive words before you destroy people. Put away deceptive words before you destroy people. Chapter 4, 24 says, put away from you deceitful mouth, and put devious lips far from you. What is deception? What does the Bible mean when it talks about deception? What it's talking about is a deliberate attempt to get somebody to believe something that is not true, typically for the purpose of either protecting the guilty or indicting the innocent. And so when in the Ten Commandments it says, do not bear false witness, it's speaking primarily of witnessing in a courtroom, and you are speaking words that are not true in order to protect the person who is guilty or to indict someone who is innocent. And this is what deception has behind it. There are some of us, right, are so sensitive about any kind of misrepresentation of any kind of truth that we're afraid to even keep a secret for a surprise party or something, right? And again, if that's fine, if that's where you are. But what I want you to understand is deception in the Scripture, lying in the Scripture, is attached to leading somebody down a path that is for harm in some way or another. That's the idea behind deception. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious lips far from you, the Scripture says. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Right? So there is this demonstration of hatred and the ruin of others when we deceive, because a lying tongue looks to crush people, to harm. 14, verse 25. A truthful witness saves lives, but he who speaks lies is treacherous. Treacherous. It destroys trust in someone else. Treachery. 24, 28, and 29 says, do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. Do not say, thus I shall do to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. It's kind of getting somebody back for something they've done to you. Right? We've all been tempted or maybe even done this. Or somebody has hurt us and so we want to hurt them back. Make them know what it feels like to be hurt. And so we may say something about them or bring some form of deception to harm them so that they feel what that's like. And then Proverbs 10, verse 18, he who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. There is not only the words that we say that can be deceptive, but the words we do not say that are intended to lead somebody astray. Right? We may withhold information that is necessary that would lead somebody astray. Either way, we are deceiving with our communication. And so we are called to put away from us before it comes out, to put it away, this deception, so that we do not destroy people. Right? We've been called by God to do the opposite of destroying people, but to build them up and to help them. Secondly, we're to put away slanderous words. We see at the end of that verse about a slander. We're to put away slanderous words before you destroy relationships. In chapter 16, verse 28, says, a perverse man spreads strife and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Relationships have been destroyed by slander. What is slander? Slander are words that damage another person's reputation. They may be true words, or they may be false words. But words that are intended to destroy somebody's reputation, that's slander. Sometimes we may know things about someone that we just should not say. Because it's not going to help them. It's going to hurt them as an individual, hurt their reputation. 20 verse 19 says, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. We need to be careful who our friends are. Be careful when we're around those who have a history of speaking slanderous or gossip words. If somebody reveal secrets to you about someone else. In other words, if somebody slanders another person in your presence, you have a pretty good idea they're probably going to do that to someone else on against you. Because that reveals a character issue within them. That doesn't mean people can't change. But we need to be careful of what we say, of what we entrust to someone who has shown themselves to be a slanderer, one who gossips. It says, do not associate with him. Chapter 30, verse 10, says, do not slander a slave to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. Slander often will come back to you. You know, a lot of times we say something to someone else, and we think, well, you know, I'm just telling you this. Don't tell anybody. Well, then, you know, they turn around and tell someone else, say, no, I'm just telling you this. Don't tell anyone else. And then they do. And it eventually gets back to the person. I'd say probably more often than not, it gets back to the person. And it destroys relationships, builds distrust. And so, if we know something about somebody that isn't good for their reputation. Don't even tell one person. You know, in our flesh, we like to be in the know. We like to be someone who has some information that somebody else doesn't have, and we like to share it. It makes us feel like we're important in some way. But we should keep it to ourselves for the protection of our brother, our sister, our friend. Put away slanderous words. And then the last verse I have there, 25:23, says, "The north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance." When we talk behind someone's back, backbiting, we produce enemies. It produces anger. And we find we have enemies. And so we should put away these words before they come out of our mouth, before they destroy people and destroy relationships. Thirdly, put away many words before you destroy yourself. Chapter 10, verse 19, I've referenced this before, but it says, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise." And 13:3 says, "The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." There is a consequence to our own life when we talk too much. Because the more we talk, the more we're going to get ourselves into trouble. There's a story about an elderly man who was very hard of hearing. And his family continued to encourage him to go get, you know, hearing aids. And he just didn't want to for all kinds of reasons, but he just kept resisting and resisting. Finally, he went to the ear doctor and got fitted for hearing aids. And so he went back home, and then a month later, he came back to the doctor for a checkup. And the doctor checked him and said, "Man, your hearing is 100%. This is one of your family must be so happy about this." And he said, "Well, I haven't told him yet." He said, "I just sit back and listen." He said, "I've changed my will 3 times. We have to be very careful when we talk. Many words, we can bring destruction upon ourselves. Chapter 12, verse 13 says, "An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble." We can be ensnared by the words that we say. Proverbs 17:28, "Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he opens his mouth, I'm sorry, when he closes his lips, he is counted prudent." Even a fool can be considered wise if he just keeps his mouth shut. I think it was Mark Twain that kind of used another phrase like this. He says, "It's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open it and remove all doubt." Right? But even a person who may not be very wise, if they just stay quiet, people might think that they are wise. 21:23 says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles." We can protect ourselves from a lot of trouble when we guard our tongue. In fact, Psalm 141, verse 3, is a prayer that we ought to pray. "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch of the door of my lips." Lord, I can't tame my own tongue, so you set a guard over my mouth and my lips. And then the last verse here in this section, 18, verse 13, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." Sometimes we talk so much, we never listen to anybody else. You know, you've been there, we've all been in the situation where we have a conversation with somebody and they're talking, and we're not listening because we're just waiting for them to stop talking so we can say what we want to say. Right? We're thinking about what we're going to say in response rather than listening to what they say. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind." Oh, what a convicting verse. A fool is not interested or does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Boy, I tell you what, I don't get on Facebook a lot, and I don't think I've ever posted anything on Facebook. I may never, because it's so volatile. But the reality is, there's so much that is said and put out there. And not just Facebook, but all kinds of social media. I don't know, because I'm not on any of these others. But it's easy to just mouth off because you're hiding behind a computer or a phone, and people don't know you. They can't come after you, if you will. So there's a lot of really bad stuff that can be said. That should not characterize the body of Christ. And we should be willing to hear those who are saying things that maybe we don't agree with, so we can understand. Not so that we are drawn away from the truth. No, but so we can understand where they're coming from, so we can find a way to make a connection, so that we can earn the right to speak truth into their lives. But when we just keep talking and keep talking, we eventually will say things we shouldn't say. So our words can do great damage. So put away deceptive words, put away slanderous words, put away many words. Well, we can conclude then, we hear all that, we should just never talk, right? Well, no. Because the other side of that verse is, right, our words can do great good. When they're spoken at the right time, in the right way, we can give life by our words. As we bring ourselves and our words, our communication, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, asking for His guidance, we can encourage people. Here are three truths that would come again from the book of Proverbs. Number one, our words can nourish the hungry soul. Chapter 10, verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. The lips of the righteous feed many. Our words nourish those who are hungry for truth, those who are searching for the right answers. Our words can nourish them. And then listen to these several verses. On the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks understanding. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so. And then the wise woman in Proverbs 31, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. See, we can instruct with wisdom. We can teach. We can help. We can bring nourishment to those who are looking for truth, rather than deceiving with lying tongue. And rather than bringing ruin on somebody else, we can actually bring forth a harvest of righteousness. We can nourish the soul of those who are hungry for truth, who want to know. And then the last verse of this section, 22:17-18, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. And apply your mind to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips. We need to listen first. We need to hear. We need to receive the words of instruction, so that they're then there ready for us to speak them. Oftentimes, you may not know the But the words you spoke brought nourishment and help to somebody. You may not know. And that's okay. You see, because sometimes we think, well, we have to have this real nice feeling, you know, when we have this interaction with somebody. We have to feel good about it and feel like we've done something. No, we don't need to feel that. We just need to be obedient to God and His Word and leave it in His hands to do what He will to nourish the weary soul. I'm sorry, the hungry soul. Let's leave it there. Our job is to receive the instruction, receive the wisdom, and when it's there, we offer it. Again, as we yield to the Holy Spirit. And we trust Him to take and do what He will with it. Secondly, it says our words can encourage the weary soul. Proverbs 12:18, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Healing. There are many people who are weary. Especially in the world we live in right now, they're weary because they don't know what to believe. There's so much misinformation. There's so much being said that is on one side or the other. People are weary of all this. They need encouragement. Our words can bring that healing. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So how we respond to somebody, regardless of how they have come at us, but how we respond, we can actually turn away wrath with gentleness. Verse 4 of chapter 15, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. God help us not to crush people's spirit, even if they're wrong, to not crush their spirit, but to bring a tree of life, if you will, to those who may feel like they're dying. And then the last one, Proverbs 31:8-9. Open your mouth for the dumb, that is, those who can't speak for themselves. For the rights of all the unfortunate, he says, open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. There are some out there who can't speak for themselves, who don't have a voice. We need to encourage their weary soul. One example of this would be the unborn. They have no voice. They cannot speak from the womb and say, I'm a real person. I'm alive in here. I need and deserve the chance to be born like everyone else. We can speak up on their behalf. And ministries like Pregnancy Ministries is doing that. And is saving lives and helping. Another ministry that I think is doing an incredible job in showing us what it looks like to have peaceful demonstrations is 40 Days for Life. It's an organization that goes to abortion centers and stands outside for 40 days in a prayer vigil. And all they do is pray for the people going in and out and pray for the workers inside there. They don't yell and scream at them, tell them they're murderers and all this. They don't do all that. They just stand and pray round the clock for 40 days. And I don't even know what the statistics are, but they have closed down many abortion clinics around the world simply by praying, by standing silently, quietly. And they're available if somebody wants to ask questions. They pray for people. They've seen many people come to go in and turn around and leave. They've seen many workers in those clinics get saved and leave. But you don't see them on the news, do you? That's what it looks like to peacefully protest. They're standing up for those who have no voice. Lastly, our words can restore the wayward soul. Just a couple passages. Proverbs 27:5-6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. When we speak the truth in love, we help people get back to where they need to be. People who have gotten off track, the wayward soul, we can help restore them. And as we said last week, the gospel is a word of rebuke because it tells people what is wrong in their life. There is sin in their life, just as there's sin in all of our lives. And that sin has separated us from God, from a relationship with God. But God sent a Redeemer. God sent a Savior to pay the price our sin deserved, their sin deserved. That through receiving that payment on our behalf, through trusting relationship with Christ, we receive forgiveness and we are reconciled in relationship again with God. That's the most loving thing that we can tell somebody who is walking in their sin. They may not even realize the direction they're going. See, the enemy will give those deceitful kisses. He will keep saying to the unbeliever, oh, you're okay, that's not that bad. Hey, everybody makes mistakes. It's okay. No problem. And then as soon as the person gets saved, man, now the enemy is hounding them constantly. Oh, you're too bad to follow Jesus. You're a no good. You know, look at all the things you've done. Look how bad you are. You can't ever be accepted by God. The enemy is always deceiving. So we can, through our words, restore a person who has wayward. Chapter 28, verse 23. He who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor. And he who flatters with the tongue. We all like to hear flattery. We all like to hear someone tell us that we're good and we're doing well and all that. And hey, there's nothing wrong with encouraging somebody when the things they do well. That's not flattery. That's encouragement. We also need to be told where we have gotten off track. Again, lovingly, kindly. And last week as we looked at chapter 9, we saw, you know, the fool or the scoffer doesn't like to be reproved. The wise man receives it. Wise person receives it. This is speaking about how we give it, right? We want to give it with love. We want to give it with kindness. But we want to speak truth so that our words can bring restoration to those who are wayward. Bottom line is this. Our words have great power. What we say matters. Use them for great purposes. Right? Our words have great power. Use them for great purposes. So that we put away deception, put away slander, put away much talking, and we speak in such a way that we nourish, encourage, and restore those who need to hear the truth. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, you have given us a mouth to speak with. You have helped us to know that we can use this mouth to do great harm to others. God, help us to yield our tongue to you. Lord Jesus, you told us that it's not just the tongue, but the tongue speaks what's in the heart. And so our heart needs to be transformed by you, O Lord. And so help us, again, to bring ourselves under your authority, so that we put away wrong speaking, hurtful, harmful, damaging words, and we put on and pick up words that bring life and help people, that encourage, nourish, and restore. Lord, we acknowledge that for some of us, we talk too much. We say too many words. We need to be careful. And then there's some of us, Lord, that don't talk very much at all, that need to talk more because we have something to say that would be of help. May we not neglect our responsibility to speak up when we need to speak up. But may we exercise wisdom to know when to shut up and when to speak up. God, only You can help us with that. Thank You for these truths from Your Word that instruct us in wise behavior in regards to the tongue. That we apply them to our lives under the direction of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You. Guide us this day. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.